Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're glad to have you in here tonight, the 30th day of April and the year 2002. We are moving right along, praise Yahweh, in time. And we are in perilous times. We are in times of trouble, such, I guess, as the world has never seen. We do know that there was a violent upheaval in the earth many years ago. And we expect that there's going to be some more trouble down the road very soon. It just seems like that the storm clouds or the rain clouds, whatever is in the rain clouds, you never know, whether it can be hail, wind, fire, lightning, hurricane, tornadoes, or whatever that's coming out of the rainstorm. Well, we do know that the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, so be ye also ready, for you know not in what hour that the Son of Man is coming. Make sure he don't find you eating and drinking with the drunken. Make sure that you are on a spiritual journey. Make your election and calling sure. Seek Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and strength. Fast and pray. Turn from your wicked ways, and then Yahweh will hear from heaven and heal the land. Have you ever wondered why that the Messiah washed the 12 disciples' feet? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever wondered why that Noah took two of every animal into the ark? Have you ever paused to think and wonder? Have you ever wondered why the temple that was commanded to be built was to be built without the sound of any tool, hammer, or device upon it that would create sound? Have you ever wondered why that it was a soundless temple? Have you ever wondered why that David chose five smooth stones out of a brook to go to battle with Goliath? Have you ever wondered why that Samson lost his power when Delilah cut his hair? Have you ever wondered why Joseph wore a coat of many colors? Have you ever wondered why that the Messiah was born in a stable and laid in a manger? Ever wondered about all those things? Have you ever wondered why that the Father required Moses to instruct Aaron to wear the Urim and the Thummim? What is that device? Have you ever wondered why? Well, we're going to probably go into some of these questions tonight for you, and we hope and trust and pray that will answer some of these questions that's in your mind. I know that they have certainly been in mine from time to time down through the years. And, you know, the Bible said our ways are not Yahweh's ways. Most of the people believe that they can keep all of the law, righteous and things of this nature, and yet there's so many things contained within righteousness of the law that it is all concluded into the inner temple of the present-day man. Now, you have to have all of these outward characteristics of the law, and we're going to show you that they were designed, built. The Father, the reason he done certain things is because they represent patterns. See, do it or build it according to the pattern that was shown you in the mount. Moses was required to do exactly like the Father said. Now, the law demanded that the lights in the temple never go out. Now, these were to have pure beaten olive oil as the source of the all. Here in the 27th chapter of the book of Exodus, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they shall bring pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. And those that think that they're keeping the law, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very complex set of issues and guidances. But the question now, do you have that inner light? Is that inner light burning continuously in you? Now, we're going to try to show you the evidence of the pattern of the law is designed as a human or a Israelite, a Hebrew, let me rephrase it, a Hebrew body, man, Adam man. And that everything within the text that was given to Moses was given for purposes that you may know within the framework that the Father was looking toward the day that he would bring all these things that he had concluded and brought to Moses for guidelines to bring it into your heart and into your mind and into your soul and write his laws and commandments and statutes within you. That's very important that you know that the light is within you. The Bible said the light of the body is the eye. Now, isn't that a strange statement? The light of the body is the eye. And then it goes on to say, if the eye be single. Well, now, you know, if you was to look at a natural man here, that would be very freakish to see a man with no eyes wide or left, but an eye in the center. Would you believe that the seed of the eye that has the spiritual vision is actually located between the two natural eyes? And it was the two natural eyes that were opened when Eve saw that she was naked and ashamed and hid herself, and so was Adam. And so then, by the very essence of light for the outward, we became ashamed inwardly. Why do we hide, or why do we go to some secluded place to have sex? When sex is a natural act, as natural as eating, or sleeping, or drinking, or working, it's a natural act. It is to procreate. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing evil about it. And yet our natural mind or our two eyes see evil in it for some unknown reason other than a defiled conscience. Now the Bible said, if a man hath faith, blessed is the man that hath faith in the things that he allows. So then if your faith doesn't rise above your condemnation, then you're of all men most miserable, and you're walking around as a defiled temple, and Yahweh said he would not dwell in a defiled temple. So the man can defile the temple, and the Holy Spirit can take its exit from your body to leave you until you perfect the place or the seat of the Spirit that dwells within the temple. Verse 21 of chapter 27, in the tabernacle of the congregation, in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, if we was to, now this is for many, but let's just say now that the congregation is you. Let every man seek his own congregation. Congregate. Gather the energy of the inward forces so that without the veil, listen to me, without the veil, which is before the testimony, gather the congregation outside the veil. They cannot gaze and look in upon the holiest of holies, the Ark of the Covenant. You see, that Yahweh hid the inner things from the wise or the carnal mind, and made it subject only to spirit. The Bible said that the spirit searches the deep things of God. The Bible also refers to the search of the deep things as a fearful journey. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When you go into your inner temple, the most fearful of all things in the earth is yourself. Did you know that you have nothing to fear but yourself? There is no external forces outside you that can make you afraid if you are at peace within yourself. And this is the reason why we look outwardly for peace and contentment when there is no peace and contentment to the outward man. It just isn't designed that way. You say, oh, buddy, I could be content if I had $1 million. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, you could become more restless than you've ever imagined if you had $1 million. It would probably take up your time, change your personality drastically. You say, oh, it never, it wasn't me. There's very few men that has the power. I know a few. These men are successful. They have a positive mind. They have a bright outlook. They know where their priorities are. They know how to place their power of wealth to place it in the kingdom. That's wise. The Bible talks about men that have riches with the blessings of the Creator. Very few men upon the planet have the inner or the outward riches or the combination of the two that they can perform those things which are necessary to please the Heavenly Father. Most of the time, these come in direct opposition to the cause, the righteous cause of the Father. Therefore, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before Yahweh. It shall be a statue forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Now, the lamp here in verse 20 was to burn continuously always, and the veil should be covered until once a year, when the high priest would enter into the most holy behind the veil, which represents, if you will, the mind, the veil meaning the hidden things, the carnal things that the inner or the outward mind cannot comprehend. They are war with each other. For you see, the carnal man cannot comprehend the things which be of spirit, and the spirit man cannot comprehend the things which be of the natural or the outward man. They conflict. There is a war. There is a continuous struggle within self to bring a divine contentment and order to the temple. And this is what all this is representing. Now notice here in chapter 28, this is where I will primarily focus my attention tonight, upon the teachings for you, and the name of our message tonight is why. Simple, why? Why did Joseph wear a coat of many colors? Well, let me exactly, I spoke on it briefly the other day, and when I spoke on that, the Father said, Brother Buddy, that was real good. You need to give the people that have these questions in the line just a little bit more of the taste of why that I put certain things in certain places for certain people to search out. You know, the Bible said it's one thing for God to conceal or hide a matter. It's another thing for the kings. These are those that are in pursuant of the internal or the inward kingdom. The things that are inward, not outward. Ladies and gentlemen, we see these things outward, and they're there. Everything, let me show you something here. Everything that is happening right now upon planet Earth is designed and foretold and predestined on a contract. I don't know whether you know that or not. Let me repeat that. You say, well, Pastor Patty, if that's true, then if we're predestinated, what's the use of struggling against the things that are that you cannot change? The only thing that you can change is yourself. Now, if you get out here and try to change other things, then you're involving yourself in karmatic problems of others, and you would be wise to stay away from other people's problems. The Bible speaks about a wise man that is able to dispense advice with the same ability to swallow it. Now, let me repeat that. Never give advice to anyone else that you can't swallow yourself. Therefore, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That's the golden rule. I repeat, never give advice to someone you can't swallow the same advice yourself. And let it be known that whatever advice you give out, you must swallow. Because whatever you speak or whatever you say, you shall be judged without judgment. So by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Therefore, let your words be few. A wise man will watch what or guard his tongue. I spoke last night on the effect that power or life and death is in the power of the tongue. I repeat that. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You must learn, and you say, oh, I can use my tongue any way I please. Glory to God. I'm right, and I'm able to stay that way, and I'm just going to speak it because I feel it. You know, the Bible talks about a man that will hold his peace, but a fool will be a man of many words. And the Bible says through the multitude of words a fool is known. So fools round alone where wise men hold their peace. Now listen to the priest's clothes. Now, what's clothes have to do with it? It's dressing up the outward, but it's actually, if you will bump it up a notch or two here, which is what I'm trying to get you to see, if you'll bump it up a notch or two, it's the inward that displays the array of colors from the what we call the crown chakra. That is a New Age term. I hope it doesn't offend you, but it's the aura, or the light that is emitting from your temple. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't know that I've got any light around me. Well, it's been a proven fact that your whole body is electric, and you are enveloped with a beautiful, radiant light. If you are positive, if you're holy, if you're just, if you're good and kind, this radiance is so beautiful that it dazzles the natural eye. The natural eye can see it. There is a very few people with the natural eye that have the ability to see beyond this veil. And that's why that veil was put there, to have the glory of the inner temple, because it's a sanctified and it's a holy and a very personal place for God, the Spirit, to dwell. He is that radiant energy. He's the life force within you, and that's why he said, take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, and from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office. Now, see, the priest was the only one allowed in behind the veil. And he could only come in once a year. And ladies and gentlemen, do you know when that entrance was to be made? Do you know when that blood offering was to be poured upon the Ark of the Covenant and the testimony to be accepted eternally by the Father for the sins of the people in their outward dress for 1 year? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the law would keep you, the sin offering law, acceptable commandments and requirements of God would keep you for 1 year. Now, this is for the soul. Now, if you sinned, you had to bring turtle doves and offerings and sin offerings and things of this nature continuously before the priest, the Levites, and they would enact whatever sin that you had committed. They would kind, pick out the chosen sacrifice, if you will, or the proper commandment-keeping procedures to deal with your sins. These were actually the priests that dealt with the outward temple. And yet, once a year, they had to deal with your inner being. And once a year only did this high priest, and he didn't go in that without a rope, ladies and gentlemen, tied to his leg. He had bales tied to his garment. These golden bales would ring as long as he was moving about. If the Father, the internal spirit, for God sat and communed with them upon the ark. Paul said, I would like to talk a lot about this ark, but I am not permitted. We're going to talk about it more tonight than Paul was permitted to, because we have now, in the last days, the permission from the Holy Spirit to reveal the inner temple, to create a resting place for Christ in you, all the glory. Now, how does this work? Thou shalt make holy garments for your brother, for the glory and for beauty. You see, not only did God want the glory of the garments, you need to actually perform in your best when you're in the presence of God, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. I was talking to a brother today, and we were talking about the zeal of certain people. And this particular man has a great, terrible amount of zeal. He cannot do enough to please God. He is always trying to think of ways that would actually promote, if you will, the kingdom principles of teachings of the gospel. This man is rare. There are few. When you can test a man, when you go back and take his pocketbook out and begin to extract money for the work of the kingdom. You see, these extractors, they brought all their tithes and offerings in our temple so that there could be an inward work. For instance, the light would burn continuously before Yahweh as a statue forever, and the veil, which is before the testimony, shall order it from evening to morning before Yahweh. It shall be a statue forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, there are still things being offered up for you. You may not know it. If you are a child or a king's child, if you are a descendant of the royal sons of Jacob, then you are privileged somewhere upon the earth at the appropriate times, on the Sabbaths and the high holy days. There are men and women that wear their best. They give their best. They take their best. And they take your name before the Father, and they offer it up to the Father as a memorial remembrance. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the question is why? Why did Joseph wear a coat of many colors? If you will really bump it up a notch here from Joseph to the physical, to Joseph as a type, he was portrayed as the child of promise. I told you that the birthright came through the seed line of Joseph. I can prove it. We teach this in text. We have it. If you'd like to have it in text, we can transfer it to you over the computer, and we can give you a download if you will send us your email, just exactly what we have written. Brother Russ Walker and myself, we have written this document of who actually Joseph was. If you'd like to have it, you can have it tonight if you'll email us. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. I'm coming back in the second half, and we're going to go into the inner temple and answer some of the questions that I raised at the beginning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here tonight with us. Praise Yahweh. We are so thankful for you. and for the many that is growing in our little radio church, and we would really desire to see you at the Passover in Andrews, North Carolina. It's going to be coming up on the 25th day of May. We're keeping the second Passover, and we'll teach on that before the Passover. We're coming into the month of May, and I'll start teaching on the Passover and the Sabbath next week. Yahweh willing, praise Yahweh. And we'd like to have you to attend the Passover. Now, you see, the blood was taken at Passover. This is also a type and a shadow. That's why that we still remember it today, because we are really remembering the inner Passover. Not the outward now that they kept physically. We keep it physically now to remember from where they came. They kept it looking forward to where we're going. And so then, we have the past, the present, and the future within the veil of our mind, and we are consecrated with the pure olive oil as the lamps continuously burn in our hearts and in our minds and our souls forever. And Joseph was a perfect type of the inner child, or the promised child, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's a perfect, perfect type. Now, how is this child brought forth? It's brought forth as a man-child within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the word Christ means anointed one. So the anointing, the inner being, the change, the stirring of the Holy Spirit moving within your temple comes through desire, intense desire. Now, there must be a meditative state of mind. You must learn to meditate and to still yourself. Psalms 46 and 10 said, "Be still and know that I am Yahweh." There is too much running, too much outwardly activity pursuing the whims and the wants of the outward man. Deny yourself these things. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, God don't need you to go out and win a war. I mean, if he did, he would call you and arm you, and you yourself could defeat all of the earth. One man could defeat all the earth with the okay, or with the fellowship of the inward man. One man could do that. If God so desired to give you the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge, you could defeat the whole world if he wanted you to. So see, he don't really need you to do those things. Those things are not, he wants you to defeat yourself. I'm going to repeat that. He wants you to actually defeat yourself. It's easy to go out and beat up some guy, but can you beat yourself up? Can you take yourself into your inner closet, and can you set yourself down and make yourself sit there in solitary confinement? When your flesh man is designed to get out and see the light of day, to see the bright lights in the city, to go down to eat, drink, and to be merry. Go on a 40-day fast, and you'll understand what Pastor Buddy's talking about. Have you ever done it? Have you ever pushed your plate back? Oh, I don't have time to take a video. I can't do that now. Glory to God. God didn't expect you to starve your guts out. I've heard it all. You don't have to. It's voluntarily. If you got the zeal, if you're hungry, if man shall not live by bread alone, but if you're interested in the inner temple, if you want to go behind the veil and see the great things that God has laid up for you, and the wonders of the beauty that you can share in the inner kingdom, oh, how sweet it is. Let's talk about the covering or life force for just a moment of Joseph's coat of many colors. The colors represent various aspects of the inner promise. Red would represent love or passion. But on the negative force, that's the positive side of the inward, but on the negative force, red would represent anger. And the Bible said, anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Have you learned to defeat yourself with anger and the passions of the five senses of the carnal mind? Have you defeated those purposes of the carnal? The carnal is out to defeat you in your spiritual quest or your inner journey. It doesn't want you to go. It can't go with you. You must die daily. You must defeat your flesh man daily. Most people are so embodied with lust of alcohol, nicotine, drugs, these counter agents that keep the flesh man in bondage. They develop caffeine kicks. Oh man. Oh, it is terrible how we can get caught up in the flesh and we can't discipline our bodies. I used to love to smoke cigarettes. You say, Pastor Buddy, did you smoke? Oh yes, I love cigarettes. Oh, I could smoke a truckload of cigarettes. I couldn't get enough. I'd get up during the night and smoke. But one night, the Holy Spirit spoke to me from the depths of my being and told me that I was destroying my temple and for me to lay them aside. And ladies and gentlemen, I struggled with that the rest of the night before I got up at daylight and got my cigarettes, what was left of the pack, and destroyed them and promised my Heavenly Father that I would never, never defile my temple with the lust or the craving of nicotine. And from that day forward, over 35 years, I haven't smoked a cigarette. But it was the hardest thing that I ever had to defeat the flesh man. He argued with me for even 10 years after that. I still wanted to chew a tobacco. I still wanted to smoke a cigarette or dip some skull. Big wad of Red Man or Day's Work or Young Blood. All you old folks that used to chew and drink and smoke and gamble and run around with people of various vices. You know, you have to break yourself from that. You have to discipline yourself. Can you go behind? Are you cleansed enough? Now you had to have there were labors for the priest to wash. He had to wash himself before he could even enter into the presence of God. Did you know that? Yeah. In the 20th chapter and in the 22nd verse, and God said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen what I have talked to you from heaven. Huh. You have seen what I have talked to you from heaven. So this is the inner talking of the Spirit. So the inner child, red, representing love or anger. Choose this day who you'll serve. Scarlet is the coat of many colors now. Scarlet would represent energy, positive or negative. You can have negative energy. You can run to and fro and compassion and see to make a pastor out and make him two for more of a child of hell with your own energy. So you've got to make sure that the energy or the light in you is not dark. Yellow represents a kingship or peasantship. Do you want to be a king or do you want to be a peasant geared up to Babylon? Now, to be a king, you must be ordained or sanctified or registered or sworn into the priesthood. And that's why that we go into holy altars. Now, notice this in the holy altar approach. And these are the garments which thou shalt make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. They had to have these special garments. My. Speak to those that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Speak to them that are wise-hearted and filled with the Spirit. Now, we have a sister in Andrews, North Carolina. She's working day and night. on 2 or 3 jobs, and then on her part-time job or her off-duty job, she makes robes continuously for the house of Israel. And she does it without murmuring. She does it without complaining. Some people pay her for them, and some people don't. But that's a wise lady, a wise woman. She knows what she's doing, and she does it for the grace of Yahweh. She makes these garments to appear holy as a priest. You see, we're all kings and priests, ladies and gentlemen. Exodus chapter 24 will tell you we're all kings and priests. If so be that we have believed that we're kings and priests. Now, you can be a peasant, you can be a peasant, or you can be a king. Praise Yahweh. So choose this day which one you'll serve. Now purple represents wisdom, but you can also get violent with purple and act foolish. So it's a positive negative force. The flesh man will want you to act a fool, and the spirit man wants you to turn inwardly, and that's wise. A man that turns into the inner chamber or goes behind the veil, see, you're not allowed back there. But you got to force your way in or enter into it boldly. And it's scary back there, ladies and gentlemen, in the dark regions of your mind where you can't trust yourself, where you get lonely, where you desire to go back out to the outward man and let the carnal man lead you and guide you. It's real worship. The carnal man the carnal man, Cain type of religion. Cain was very religious. What about blue? Blue represents a peace and holiness without which no man shall see God. But you can also get the blues in a negative sense and start singing the blues and run back to the negative outward and turn yourself into vain jangling, which most people have done. They can't conquer themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a war not for the outward world, a war for the inward man. Yahweh wants to dwell within you. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks, and he wants you to come behind the veil and meet him in the inward temple where he dwells. Now, this life force that covers us, it's represented, as I told you, as an aura of light. It's when we give birth to this inner child through the virgin consciousness of our meditative state that we have taken our journey in. Remember the Bible said, you shall go in and find a pasture? Well, let's read on here. We're in the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're going to get into some interesting things. I've got to hurry along. I'm running behind here. I've got to get this in. And let me drop that down to the 9th verse. And thou shalt take 2 onyx stones and engrave upon them the names of the children of Israel. Now, isn't this a strange thing? Thou shalt take 2 onyx stones. That's your right and left brain. You got a right and left brain here. Now, which one are you going to use? Oh, what miserable man, Paul said, I am. In one sense, I think that I'm miserable. In the other sense, I think I'm happy. Who's going to deliver me? You got to go into the inner child. You've got to let the birth of the inward being, the inner child, Christ, the Christ consciousness has to raise in your very being, in your inner temple, where you can have peace. Now, let me show you how to represent it. Thou shalt take 2 onyx stones and engrave upon them the names of the children of Israel, 6 of their names on one stone, and on the other 6 names of the rest, and on the other stone according to their birth. Isn't that amazing that God commanded Moses to build or make, if you will, an engraved stone, onyx stone, make 2 of them, and place over the chest of Aaron, and they were to engrave them and write upon them 6 names on one side of the house of Israel and 6 names on the other side as represented for the names of the house of Israel, or the sons of Israel, according to their birth. Is your birth important? Is it the time and date of your birth? You say, oh, now, Pastor, but if you get into that, you're getting into astrology, and I just don't go with astrology. Glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a scripture here in the 5th chapter of the book of Daniel and ask you one simple question. If you was to really think on these things and consider the book of Daniel for its wisdom, anybody that's ever read the Bible knows that Daniel was a very, very adept man that was full of the inward spirit that I'm talking about. He knew how to contact the divine creator. Notice here in the 5th chapter, in the 11th verse, O king, there is a man in your kingdom, talking about Daniel, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel had the Christ child within. Christ in him, the hope of glory. He had the Christ consciousness. And let's see what Daniel was here. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom was found in him. Light, remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. If you follow after the spirit man, you can't walk in darkness. But if you follow after your own flesh man, you see, you blame everything on the devil. But it's you that's the problem. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Who do you resist? You resist the flesh man and all the lust and the carnal desires thereof. You've got to become a disciplinarian in your own self. You've got to make yourself turn within. I say that your father made this great man in whom was found wisdom and light, made him the master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and of the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, now Daniel became the chief astrologer of the Babylonian kingdom. He had light within to direct the confusion of Babylon without. See, Babylon it represents confusion. So Daniel, see, Babylon come to a very confused state, meaning that the king was very troubled in his mind. This is the corner man. The king, who's king of your life? Are you king in the inward or are you king without? Most men and women desire to be kings without. They never will take the inward journey. Now, let me tell you the second reason why. I'm going to give you about 8 or 9. I'll finish it up tomorrow night. I'm going to give you the reason that the Messiah was born in a stable, a manger, a place where animals were kept. Remember that Christ, in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, is depicted as the sun, S-U-N, which is the great planet that gives us light. The sun, in its course through the zodiac, is that it is born. Now, the sun is born between Sagittarius and Capricorn, between the horse and the goat. Thus the child is born in a stable or a manger. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Petty. You listen to Shepherd's Call, and I've enjoyed being with you tonight, talking about why. Why is it that we have to turn in to find peace and contentment? The Bible said that godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you content? Would you be happy to just go to a cave and shut the world out and never look at the world? You say, oh, Pastor, but I'd love to do that. Why don't you do it? Well, I've got so many bills, and I've got so many things to do. Ladies and gentlemen, man shall not live by bread alone. It's your determination, your faith. God will not let you starve to death. He feeds the sparrows, and they don't labor and toil. You can quit anytime you want to and, you know, denounce all of the riches and take a vow of poverty. Have nothing in the world. Have nothing in your name. You can do that. Oh, yeah, it's a very humbling, very humiliating to not be able to have things that the rest of the world are running after. But the Bible says the Gentiles seek after these things, so don't do that. You can have peace and contentment. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I would enjoy talking to you immediately after the show. Just give me a call. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to talk to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Now, if you'd like to write me, simply address your letter to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's all the address you'll need. We're so delighted. We are communicating with people in Spain. And I salute my good brother in Spain tonight that's listening to us on Truth Radio. It's about 2 a.m. or about maybe about 3 a.m. over there right now. And he faithfully never misses a show. He listens to us every night. We get correspondence from him from time to time that he fires well. Praise Yahweh. And he is teaching this truth to those that will listen there in Spain. Also in the British Isles. And a little township near London, England. We have brothers and sisters there that are keeping the faith. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to go into the second part of why. I'll answer some more of the questions. Why did Samson lose his power when Delilah cut his hair? Things of this nature. And we will answer a few more as we go into the inward journey into the reason that the priest had the urine famine that was built in their robes and their how they put on these altars and how they manufactured power. They offered up such a powerful testimony that when God looked down from heaven and saw the wisdom and the knowledge of these people, it reminded him that he created the universe and that he created the 12 constellations above your head, whether you know it or not. And he named every one of them a specific name, and he named every star that you see in the sky, as innumerable as they are, God named every one of them and called them by their name. This is amazing how that the inward overpowers, through discipline, the outward. The outward man must die. You must really crucify the flesh and the lust and the affliction thereof. And we love you tonight, Jacob Israel. I've especially enjoyed being with you tonight with a question of why. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night on the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.